Good morning, church. It's great to be here this morning. We have a beautiful day out there. We have a beautiful group of people here to worship at sunrise. This congregation is more fortunate than most that we have a variety of our young people, our young people. There's a few middle-aged, and then there's us old folks here. So it's been a blessing that we've been able to get together for all of these years here at Sunrise and be very consistent in the worship. We have some that are missing today, and we want to remember them. Some that are traveling on the roads, they have safe journeys. Those that are ill, we want to check on. Those that are lost loved ones. So as we begin our service this morning, let's begin with a word of thanks. Father, again, we're grateful that you've watched over us up to this time, that you've blessed this congregation here at Sunrise throughout the years of the consistency of the worship, the fellowship that we have one with another. Our prayer is that we will lead a life that is uplifting to those around about us, that we can set an example that people can look up to and honor. Now be with us this morning as we enter into our song service, into the prayer service, that we can hear the words that Brother Michael will present this morning and the truths that come from your word. Now go with us on down through this service and down through life. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
Jesus, you're my firm foundation. I know I can stand secure. Jesus, you're my firm foundation. I put my hope in your holy word. I put my hope in your holy word. Jesus, you're my firm foundation. I know I can stand secure. Jesus, you're my firm foundation. I put my hope in your holy word. I put my hope in your holy word. I have a living hope. I have a future. God has a plan for me. Of this I'm sure, of this I'm sure. Jesus, you're my firm foundation. I know I can stand secure. Jesus, you're my firm foundation. I put my hope in your holy word. I put my hope in your holy word. Your word is faithful, mighty in power. God will deliver me. Of this I'm sure, of this I'm sure. Jesus, you're my firm foundation. I know I can stand secure. Jesus, you're my firm foundation. I put my hope in your holy word. I put my hope in your holy word.
Be seated, please.
Come, now is the time to worship. Come, now is the time to give your heart. Come, just as you are to worship. just as you are before your God. Come. One day every tongue will confess you are God. One day every knee will bow. Still the greatest treasure remains for those who gladly choose you now. Willingly we choose to surrender our lives. Willingly our knees will bow. With all our heart, soul, and mind and strength, we gladly choose you now. Come, now is the time to worship. Come, now is the time to give your heart. Come, just as you are to worship. Come, just as you are before your God. Come.
I'll be reading from John chapter 11, 17 through 27. Now when Jesus came, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb 4 days. Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles off, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them concerning their brother. So when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him, but Mary remained seated in the house. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, shall yet he live. Yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this?" She said to him, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world." Let's pray. God, thank you for giving us all of the reasons to serve you, to live for you, to give our lives in sacrifice to you. Thank you for a family to serve with. Thank you for giving us a place to worship you. We pray that it's pleasing in your eyes. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you. Let us pray. Dear God, as we gather around this table as a family of believers to partake in the Lord's Supper, let us be mindful of the body that is represented by the bread here. The body that was tortured and beaten and ultimately killed to give us a hope, to give us a promise of life after death, life with you. As we take this bread, clear our minds and help us to be focused on that and what that sacrifice means for us and every other believer. We ask this through your Son. Amen. As we take this cup, which represents the blood that was shed by your Son on the cross, Lord, we ask that you clear our minds again. Let us have a clear image of what took place on that day and the promise that it provides for us. Let us be mindful of that, not just now, but every day we live as we leave this building. And let us live lives that are worthy of that sacrifice to the best of our abilities. We ask all this through your Son, Jesus. Amen. God, you give us life, and everything we have in this life comes from you. Let us be good stewards of your gifts, and let that be source of joy in our hearts as we give back to your cause, and let it be spent wisely to spread your good news to those who may not have heard it, or those who may need to hear it again. We ask all these things through your Son's love for us. Amen.
Let's all stand together. I've got peace, peace, peace. I've got peace, oh yes, my Lord. Because there's something about the Spirit of Jesus that makes me have peace, 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 peace. Some glad morning when this life is o'er, I'll fly away to a home on God's celestial shore. I'll fly away. I'll fly away, oh glory. I'll fly away. When I die, hallelujah, by and by, I'll fly away. When the shadows of this life have grown, I'll fly away. Like a bird from prison bars have flown, I'll fly away. I'll fly away, oh glory, I'll fly away. When I die, hallelujah, by and by, I'll fly away. Just a few more weary days and then I'll fly away. To a land where joy shall never end, I'll fly away. By and by, I'll fly away.
Be seated, please. All right, I need to know from somebody who knows about such things. Can your brain help you smell a memory? Is that a real thing? That's a real thing? Okay, all right. All right. It's like a phantom smell.
Spice.
I wish it was. I wish it was. I keep smelling something. The science experiment I had to carry out of the backyard yesterday. Yes. I've showered twice since we cleaned up that yard. And I just, every once in a while, Anyway, we got to serve yesterday and clean up a yard and found a glass jar that had something in it. I don't know. But it had a 10-foot radius. I mean, I carried it across the street into the dumpster. I threw the gloves away. And I'm serious. I'm still smelling it. It's just hitting me. Yeah. Whew. It still hit me anyway. I was just making sure I wasn't crazy. You ever have to do that every once in a while? Yeah, just making sure you're not crazy. Hey, what I'm not crazy about is this morning's lesson, this morning's Bible study that we had about leaders. And we were in Romans chapter 12. And the most powerful three words of the whole thing just jumped out of me and just hit me right between the eyes when the Apostle Paul says, rejoice in hope. Rejoice in hope. And that, this morning, that just hit me. Rejoice in hope. We don't rejoice in our present circumstances. We don't have our source of rejoicing is not whether today is a good day or a bad day, because let's be honest, all of us can find bad in every day, because we're masters of critique and judgment and comparison and disgust. And Paul says, rejoice in hope that tomorrow or today, the Lord's either going to fix it or he's going to remove me from it. And either way, God is good. God is good. Rejoice in hope. That hit me with a power today that I'm really excited about. Because it is my experience that I like to rejoice a lot, and I find that people around me are not of the same level of rejoicing that I'm always up to. And for some reason, that brings out all the reasons why I shouldn't be rejoicing. It brings out the litany of reasons why I should not be positive. Or it brings out the litany of reasons why we can't rejoice, that things are really worse than obviously what I am aware of. Because if I knew how bad things were in reality, then I would not be rejoicing. I would be like everyone else. That's always fun, isn't it? Yeah. Yeah. So you keep on rejoicing in hope. I rejoice and hope that one day that miserable person will find reason to rejoice as well. All right? Yeah, God is good. Let's go to Him in prayer, and then we'll jump in the Word. Our Father in heaven, we are humbled and ecstatic to be in Your presence through the blood of Jesus Christ. And Father, this morning we're going to see what an amazing gift that You have given us. And I pray, Lord, that the power of that gift will work in our hearts, that it will cause rejoicing, that it will renew our hope, that it will bring us to more love for You, for everyone around us. Father, we praise Your name. We're here because of what You have done for us. We're here because of how great You are. We're here because in Your mercy, we learned about Jesus. We're here because we have made the confession that He is Lord and He is Your only Son. Father, we believe. We believe. And we rejoice in the hope that You have put in our hearts. We trust that You are taking care of all things. We trust that You are able to overcome what stands against us. We trust that You are preparing for us an eternal home with You. We trust that sin and death have been defeated. Blessed be your name. We pray through Jesus. Amen. Go ahead and open your Bible to John chapter 14. You know, it's a popular thought, and one that you have encountered or you will encounter if you talk to people about Jesus, is that God changed between the Old and New Testaments. That God in the Old Testament, God the Creator, God with the prophets, and God with Israel, was one of wrath. That He was always in a bad mood, that He was always in angry, and nobody could get it right, and so He was always doling out punishment, and He was always exiling and killing and just separating people from Himself. And then, somehow, along in the New Testament, because God's wrath... Hang on. Because God's wrath was so untenable, and who honestly is going to follow a God that is just so mad all the time, that God had to do something different. That God had to change course, and He had to send His Son into the world, and Jesus would walk with us, and He would be wearing Birkenstocks, and He'd have long hair, and He would just be chill and cool, and He'd love everybody, and He'd accept everybody, and you know what? With Jesus, it was all right. And sometimes people have a hard time just putting these ideas together, and we think, well, where's that Old Testament God, or what's He doing? What's this New Testament God? Now, church, the truth is, we need to know this, and those around us need to know this, that God has love and wrath. And God the Father and the Son are one. They are one. Jesus shows us this clearly in John chapter 14. Let's start in verse 1. Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. So believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and I will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. And you know the way to where I'm going. Well, Thomas said, Lord, we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Philip said, Lord, show us the Father. That'll be enough for us. And Jesus said, have I been with you so long and you still do not know me, Philip? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak of my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does His works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me, or else believe on account of the works themselves. Jesus is the way to the Father. Now, with that confession, with that information that he shares with Thomas and everybody around and everyone who would hear, Jesus basically polarizes himself from everything else. He says, I am the way to God. I am the way to God. Jesus says, I am the truth. Everything not of Jesus is a lie. And he says, I am the life. If you are not in Jesus, you are dead. That's pretty polarizing. That's a make or break statement, right? You can't waffle with Jesus. You can't kind of be a Christian. You can't sort of believe. No, you don't. No, you don't. He's the way, He's the truth, He's the life. He leaves no room for wishy-washy. He leaves no room for, well, yeah, but maybe there's another way. No, he just said, I am the way. And his followers look at him and say, "What? We really want to believe you, Jesus. We really do. If you would just show us the Father. Just show us the Father. Just give us a glimpse. Just let us see. You know, because seeing is, yeah, you know. So just show us the Father, and that'll be enough. We won't ask for anything else." He sounds like us, right? "Lord, just answer this one prayer. Just answer this one prayer. I'll never ask for anything again." God doesn't even want you lying that lie. He doesn't even want you making that lie, because he wants you to be asking for more stuff. He wants you to be asking him, "Just show us the Father." And Jesus looks at him and says, "How long have you been following me? How long have you been living with me, walking with me, sharing with me, listening to me?" Jesus looks at all of us and says, "If you see me, you see the Father. If you see me, you see the Father." Because you see, Jesus speaking, he says, "I and the Father are one. He's in me, and I'm in him." That is a false theology that people get this idea of an angry Old Testament God and then a loving New Testament Jesus. Where did that loving New Testament Jesus come from? Same Old Testament God. Same Old Testament God. You see, God revealed himself in Jesus in a way that we could actually see, touch, understand, and relate to. That's what Jesus says. "If you have seen me, you have seen the Father." See, God allowed himself in this amazing way to take on flesh and be more real to us than a burning bush or a pillar of smoke or a mountain with lightning and earthquakes all around it. Because we struggle with those things, right? Because they are. They're things. They're things. And what do we do with things? Well, we idolize them. We build altars to them. We wear their jewelry. They're things. That's all they are. So we have a hard time connecting with God. So God says, "Fine, here I am. Here I am in a way that you can see and you can touch and you can smell and you can talk to and you can hear and you can witness my power." God has shown himself in Jesus. Now, the Father is also provided for us, not only an example, not even an example, he has revealed himself to us. He's also provided a way for us to be redeemed, to be saved, to be restored back to him. Let's turn over to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, verse 1. "There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus." Just let that wash over you for a minute. Just let it sink. Let it sink. Not at your feet, right here. "There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus." There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. "For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Jesus Christ from the law of sin and death." Now, this is kind of key right here in verse 3. "For God has done." For God has done. When Jesus comes along, it's not God. Okay, well, God tried. He tried Sinai. He tried the Ten Commandments. He tried all the punishment and the death and all those ways that he had, the exile. He tried all those ways. They were ineffective. And now he's trying a new way. Now he's trying something else. No, God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do. By sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for the sacrifice of sin, he condemned sin in the flesh. In order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on things of the Spirit. For to set the mind on the flesh is death. But to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it can't. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If in fact the Spirit of God dwells in you. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to Him. But if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. If the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. So in verse 3, the Apostle Paul lets us know that the ministry of Jesus Christ, the life of Jesus, this is God's doing. Jesus did not come along and say, okay, Dad, you were a little harsh. I guess we'll try it my way. That's not what was going on. In Jesus Christ, in the Son, the Father is saying, this is who I am. I love you. I love you. And you can go back and read chapters 6 and 7 and get a deeper view of this idea between the law and the Son. It's not where we're going this morning. But God says, I'm doing something that you could not do with the law. I'm sending myself to fulfill my requirement so that you could actually be righteous and redeemed and come back into my presence. Isn't that amazing? That is amazing. That God loves us so much that He went through personal sacrifice and suffering, providing for us the sacrificial lamb, the lamb without blemish, without mark. Jesus lived it perfectly. He was the perfect sacrifice. And so God Himself shows His perfection by providing His perfection in such a way that is vulnerable enough to experience death as a sacrifice for our sins. Who sent Jesus to the cross? It was me. It was you. It was us. It was us. We can't be like God because our mind is set on the flesh. Our mind is set on the flesh, so we can't even please God. But now that we are in Christ Jesus, our mind has been switched. It is no longer focused on the flesh, but now it's focused on the Spirit. Now we can actually live lives that desire to please God. We can actually live lives that are capable of pleasing God. And that's all possible because of what God has done for us. Same God. There is one. There is one. And yet, with every other religion or lack of religion, which again is its own religion, every other idea of every other person's belief of this is the way or that is the way, the Creator of the world says, I am the way. That's what it looks like. Who are we to question? Who are we to question? He came and said, this is it. I'm the way to me. Find the way. Now, he didn't put shackles around our neck or on our wrists. He didn't tie us up with a chain and say, you are coming with me. He didn't do that, did he? No. He presented himself and he said, this is the best thing that you can possibly have. God says, I know, because I made everything. I made everything and I own everything, and I'm giving you the best of what I have. There it is. It's free for you to have. You can have it. Any of you. All of you. You can all have it. It's free. And because it's free, it is free to accept or free to reject. And yet God, in His love, in His forbearance, is allowing Himself to be rejected. And yet love wouldn't be much if there wasn't room for rejection, would it? No? No, it wouldn't. And so, after giving us all this freedom, after giving us His Son, after doing Himself what the law could not do, God condemned our sin. He condemned our sin in the flesh of Jesus Christ. He found all of our sin and He said, guilty. And it must die. And He put it to death. God condemned sin in the flesh of Jesus Christ. Sorry. Everything that you and I are guilty for, everything that we have done, God didn't change the game. He didn't say, oh, no, that's okay. You tried. I'm going to let you be righteous anyway. No, it doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way. Just like in the same way, all the people that say, well, you know, we're all going to just, you know, find our own path to God, but all dogs go to heaven and all roads lead to God. Was that a Disney movie? Or was that a cheap knockoff? It was cheap. It's not even Disney worthy. All dogs go to heaven. It's a cartoon about, you know, all of our puppies and what happens to them when they're done. Hey, guess what? You know how many people today are living by that all dogs go to heaven theology? Way too many. They are not hearing the truth. Because they actually believe, you just do whatever you want. You want to ignore God? That's okay. He's going to reward you in the end. You want to curse God? That's okay. He's going to reward you in the end. You want to do whatever you want to do? That's okay. Because God's got you in the end. God seems to have other ideas. He's condemning sin. He's sentenced it and He's punished it completely. Turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 16. 2 Corinthians 5:16 says, from now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh, we regard Him thus no more. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away, the new has come. And all this is from God. It's from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself. So Paul here says, look, you and I, new creation. The old dead is gone. It's done. We are God's new world order. We're the first fruits. We've been forgiven of our sins. We've been filled with the Spirit of God. We are new creation. He did old creation and sin wrecked it. And now he sends his son so that we could be a part of his new creation. His new creation that can't be taken out by sin. That can't be destroyed. That lives forever. That's the gift that God is giving us. Not counting their trespasses against them and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Verse 20. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. So God took all of our sin and he put it on Jesus, and Jesus died for all of our sin so that we could then gain his credit for fulfilling God's perfect law. We are the righteousness of Christ. And now God has, whichever your favorite words are, saved you, redeemed you, sanctified you, forgiven you, all of those things. Because God has done that for you, he has picked you up and he has turned you around by the shoulders and he says, look, world, this is what I do. You are an ambassador for God. You are his feet on the ground. You are his eyes and ears. You are those who proclaim his good news. Hey, have you heard about God? Hey, have you heard about God? Hey, have you heard about God? I need to tell you about God. Really, who are you? I'm nobody. But God's something. And here's what he's done. Here's what he has done. This is how much he loves you. This is how much he loves you. He saved me from myself. He saved me from my sin. He saved me from death. He saved me. What do you mean? What do you mean he saved you from death? Well, Ben read for us there in John chapter 11. In fact, after making such an amazing claim, he's got to ask her, do you believe this? What did he tell her right before that? Right before he checks, he kind of gets her spiritual pulse, kind of see where she's at. Back in John chapter 11. Back in John chapter 11, we'll go there. In John chapter 11, because Martha is just sure. Lord, if you had been here, none of this would have happened. If you would have been here, none of this would have happened. And Jesus says, your brother will rise again. Your brother will rise again. Yes, Lord, yes, I know. But I miss him today. I need God to do something now. I'm distressed now. I need to be fixed today. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Church, it seems to me that Jesus has just busted the universe wide open, taking everything that we think we know, everything that we think we can see, or even everything that we think we believe. And Jesus makes this claim, I am the resurrection and the life. There is life in no one else. There is resurrection from the dead in no one else, nothing else. Not even your pop culture love of zombies. What has that been, the last 8-10 years? Yeah. It's a mockery of Christians. It's what it is. It's what it is. Who could imagine people coming back from the dead? That's got to be a horrible thing. It's got to be a horrible idea. That's got to be a scary, creepy, awful idea. Yeah. And there it is. Front and center for a while now. Probably about a decade. Listen to what he says. Whoever believes in me, I'm in verse 25, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Jesus just said, I am the resurrection and the life. If you are in me, you no longer have to worry about death. Wait, what? Jesus said, I'm taking it off the table. I've removed it. I fixed it. And you and I are just washed over with this idea and go, it can't be. Too good to be true. I know loss and suffering. My heart knows how to hurt. It just... And so he says to her, do you believe this? Do you believe this? So church, I'm just going to give you the words of Jesus today. Do you believe this? Do you believe that God loved you so much that he sent his only son, that he did that to fulfill the righteous requirement of the law and to take your sin upon himself, and because of your faith in Jesus Christ, because of your belief that he is the Son of God, because of your belief that he is in the Father, that the Father is in him, that he is truly the way and the truth and the life, that he is the resurrection, that God has now given you the righteous credit that Jesus accomplished. And what happened on the third day outside of Jerusalem? No death. The earth couldn't hold him. That is the Father's promise to you. The tomb is empty, and God declares from the heavens, this is what I have done. And Jesus looks at us and says, you believe? Because if you do, kind of changes everything. It kind of changes everything. I can no longer live for myself because I am small and puny and I won't accomplish anything. So now I'm no longer focused. My mind is no longer focused on the flesh, but on the spirit. Because that's where all the good is happening. You see the effects of the flesh, right? Every day. You see all the horrible and nasty. And he says, hey, believers, you're my ambassadors. When the world wants to know, hey, what is it? What is God even like? You see, God is like this. And I'm here to tell you about it. Oh, so what, you think you're God? No. You see, God is like this. He came in the flesh and he walked among us. Well, how can you know that's true? Well, I believe it. What do you mean you believe it? I've read the story. I believe it. I confessed it. I've been born again. I've been given His Spirit. I no longer walk around by my spirit. Well, what's the evidence of that? What's the evidence of that? The fact that I just didn't punch you in the face. Do you have any idea how much self-restraint it takes to coexist with some of you people? It is the power of the Lord keeping this hand unclenched. Now, I'm not saying that about you. I'm saying that about everybody that we live around. Where's the evidence that God is real? Come on, have you seen how much He has blessed me? I used to be ridiculous. I used to be a waste of time. I used to be worthless. I was filled with sin. All I thought about was myself. And God saved me from myself. So what does that look like? Well, what it looks like is I'm not afraid of death. What do you mean you're not afraid of death? Everybody dies. Oh, contraire. God says otherwise. God says otherwise. He's provided me a way out of that mess. And that sounds like good news to me. Well, what if you're wrong? What if I'm wrong? Guess what? If I'm wrong, you're still not getting punched in the face. So let's rejoice. But if I'm right, I'm okay. And you're not. Let me tell you about Him. Let me tell you what He's done for me. Let me tell you what my life looks like because of Jesus today. Let me tell you what living without fear looks like. Let me show you what love and kindness and generosity looks like. I am rejoicing in hope. Really, I've seen some suffering in your life. You absolutely have. I'm an open book. I have been through it. And I always have reason to rejoice. Well, when you look at the world around you, aren't you just scared? No, I'm not. When you look at everything that's going on around you, aren't you just worried? No. No, I'm not. Because I know who I believe in. And He is more than able. Our sin has been paid for by Jesus, so we don't pay the required price. Death has been defeated in the resurrection, and we look upon our risen Lord and Savior and King ruling from the right hand of God, and we will trust Him every step of the way. And if we go to sleep before He comes back and actually get some rest before He wakes us all up, amen and praise be to God, because I am working hard enough I could use the rest. I am being poured out like a drink offering. I want nothing left in the tank when He says your time is done. Because what are you saving it for? What are you saving your service for? Now is your time to serve God. What are you waiting for? Blessed be the name of the Lord. Let's stand together and sing. Is thy
good to see everyone here this morning. We've got definitely some prayer requests and some things that we need to remember and some things to announce. Joe, it's Rex's sister. She passed away this last week, and her service is going to be this coming Saturday at 11 at Broadway Church of Christ. We also need to keep Robbie, this is Fern's niece, in our prayers. She's going to have a cancer surgery on Friday, so we just need to pray for her healing and a quick recovery from that. The Barnetts are doing pretty well with being sick with COVID. Just need to keep them in our prayers, make sure they get complete healing. Rebecca Vickers is still doing well. This coming Saturday at 5 up here at the building, we're going to do a trunk or treat. There's no meal. Just let the kids come, make several rounds of the parking lot, get loaded up on candy, and everybody have a good time. I guess 2 weeks from today, there'll be the time change. So on Sunday, November 7th, get to sleep in an extra hour. So if you show up here at the old 9:30, you'll be extra early. And then I guess lastly, need to congratulate Ethan and Lane. They earned their black belts yesterday in karate. So two people you don't want to mess with because they'll put you down. All right. Is there anything else that we missed? Anything else we need to remember? All right. Let's close with prayer. Lord Jesus, I come before you. I thank you for this day and this time that we have together. Lord, I pray that we would just live our lives close to you and that we would just follow you each and every day. Lord, I lift up these requests. Lord, please be with Joe's family in her passing. I thank you that she's healed now and that she gets some rest. Lord, I thank you that we will get to see her again one day. And just please be with our family and give them the comfort and peace during this time. Lord, I pray for Robbie. Please be with her and give her the healing and just be with the doctors and nurses and everyone that's performing her surgery on Friday. I pray that goes well. Also, pray for the Barnetts and everyone else that's sick with COVID right now. Just please give them the strength and healing that they need. I just pray that you just be with us all this week. And just as we go out, I pray that we would just show others your love and that we would just live in your light. It's in your name I pray, Lord Jesus. Amen.